being better heard. First of all, thank you for coming here to make the retreat. But a retreat is a time of special grace on the condition that we are open to the will of God. And I mean open to God's will. First of all, it is not only recommend, but even required that we keep a strict recollection of spirit. Silence is expected. Then to pray, ask, O Lord, what you know you need, and then plan, decide before God what you think He wants you to do, because, I'm not exaggerating, a retreat may well be the condition for our salvation. During these conferences, my plan is to have each conference concentrate on one subject. My present meditation is on the sacrament of confirmation and the sacrament of spiritual strengthening. Over the centuries, this sacrament has been widely misunderstood, and as we know, even openly denied. There is consequently to begin the retreat with this strange subject. There is a real need to understand the sacrament of confirmation in an age when, hear it, millions of professed Catholics have given up their faith. In just three American dioceses, 150 parishes have been closed. Among the errors condemned by the Church over the centuries has been an error which Jesus follows, condemned already in the 16th century by the Council of Trent. Anyone says that confirmation of baptized persons is a useless ceremony, and not rather a true and most important sacrament of which those nearing adolescence give an account of their faith before the Church. Anyone who denies that, the Council declared, let him be anathema. When the Roman Catechism was published in 1566, after the rise of Protestantism, with six whole nations ceasing to be Catholic, this was one of the definitions issued by the Church. Now found in the Holy Church of God, many by whom this sacrament is altogether omitted, while very few try to obtain from it the fruit of divine grace which they should derive from its reception. The same could be said today. Never in the history of the Catholic Church have more professed Catholics given up their faith than in the second half of the 20th century. What is the biblical basis for faith in confirmation? As we know, the New Testament does not tell us exactly when and where Christ instituted the sacraments. That's why Jesus gave us the church to follow and declare what are seven sacraments of the Roman Catholic faith. The biblical foundation for faith in confirmation is a promise of Christ Himself to the apostles when He promised to give them the Holy Spirit just before His ascension. He told His disciples, I'm sending down to you what the Father has promised. Stay in the city, therefore, until you are clothed with the power from on high. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49. Before I planned this retreat, I prayed and asked our Lord, how should I begin this retreat? Evidently, I was told to start with the sacrament of confirmation. On the same occasion, Christ promised His followers, I'm quoting Jesus, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea and Samaria, and in fact, to the ends of the earth. Though I spoke for 8 days, 5 hours each day, on the indispensability of the sacrament of confirmation, I would not be exceeding the need. If there's one sacrament Catholics desperately need to rely on, need to use, it is the sacrament of confirmation. We see that the basic reason why Christ instituted this sacrament was that His followers were witness to Him even to the ends of the earth. The original revealed Greek term for witnesses, as quoted by St. Luke, was martyrs. The sacrament of confirmation could and should be called, as named by the Church, as the sacrament of martyrdom. Dear Lord, do we ever need martyrs in the Catholic Church today? He therefore sent the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday to enable His disciples, that means us, to be His martyrs until the end of time. Over the years, I've given many retreats. I was ordained in 1947, which in my arithmetic is 52 years ago. But never in those 50 years of the priesthood have I thought what I'm thinking now, a Catholic to keep the faith, to be faithful to the faith in which Christ, shall we so say, enroll them. A Catholic today must be a living martyr. We've lost, since 1950, millions of professed Catholics to the Catholic Church. The Archdiocese of Chicago alone has closed about 100 parishes. Now we ask ourselves, what does this sacrament confer? There's a mount of implications hidden in this precious statement that confirmation is a sacrament of spiritual strengthening. You'll therefore concentrate on the effects of confirmation and our responsibility to live not only as baptized Christians, but as confirmed Christians in our day. We define confirmation as the sacrament of spiritual strengthening. In Latin, roboratio spiritualis. Roboratio, as we know, means power, strength, makes a person robust. And this strengthening is strengthening of the Spirit. More concretely, confirmation strengthens the supernatural life we receive in baptism. Hear it. Once a person is baptized, that person has received the state of grace in which he must live until he leaves this world. Unless you're in the state of grace when we die, our souls, and I must say this, our souls will go to hell. Confirmation, therefore, gives us the power of resistance to resist the dangers and to acquire the strength to become more Christ-like until the dawn of eternity. Confirmation gives us, and before the age of reason, the title of such fortitude as no one else except confirmed believers can expect. Confirmation does nothing less than give us strength, superhuman power, to resist the hostile forces, hostile to our faith as Catholics. There are, as we know, three sacraments give a person what we call an indelible character. They are baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. Confirmation gives us the character to be like Jesus Christ, the priest, the teacher, and the king. And how we need this today. How we need Catholics. Dear Lord, how desperately we need Catholics who are so strong in their faith, they are willing and ready to die what as Catholics they believe. I cannot repeat too often that the sacrament of confirmation gives us the power of sacrifice. And that sacrifice means the willingness and the readiness to die for what we believe. On this first level of assimilation to Jesus Christ, who died on his cross because he professed to be what he really was. All this needs to be said. Confirmation gives us the strength to bear suffering. Suffering passively in union with him who died on his cross out of love for us and gives us the strength to offer ourselves out of love for him who died on his cross out of love for us. The lowest figure for the number of Catholics who gave up their Catholic faith since 1950 in the United States, the lowest figure is 7 million. How we need to hear this. On this first level of courage, the sacrament of confirmation makes us, as far as God's grace can, courageous in not just being Catholics, but professing our faith. And it will be said more than once, to bring others who are not Catholics into the true church. How many Catholics have you brought into the true church in the past year? Hear it. We have a duty, a solemn responsibility of bringing the true faith to others. Confirmation, therefore, assimilates us to Jesus Christ, the teacher. We acquire a strong will, adhering to the faith, the true faith in the face of obstacles. A strong mind in never doubting the truths of faith. I say this out loud. Wish I could shout it. From mountaintops, we need Catholics who will bring others into the Catholic faith. We need Catholics who have a strong humility of spirit, professing the faith and a strong wisdom that knows how to communicate this faith to others effectively. Before this retreat is over, I am asking our Lord, give each one of you the strong desire of bringing others into the Catholic Church. And if you don't, that you risk your own salvation. Finally, confirmation assimilates us to Christ the King. It gives us confirmation, gives us a quality of leadership that can direct others on the path of salvation. It gives us a strong character that can withstand the ravages of bad example. Oh, my dear friends, I'm speaking in Chicago. Chicago has lost millions to the Catholic faith. We might describe the sacramental character of confirmation by calling it the sacrament of witness to Christ in the Church and before the world. And repeat, if the sacrament gives us the strength to witness to Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church and before the world. In other words, confirmation is a sacrament of fearless apostolic zeal. Having said this much, we are now ready to spell out more clearly what this sacrament gives each one of us. In the words of the new canon law issued by the present Holy Father in 1983, we are told that by the sacrament of confirmation, the baptized, I quote, are made strong and more firmly obliged, get that verb, obliged, by word and example, to witness to Christ and to spread and defend the faith. Immediately we see that confirmation is exactly what its name implies. Is a sacrament of strengthening, gives us superhuman courage to be apostles of the truth that God became man and died on the cross to reveal. First, then, this sacrament makes us witnesses to Jesus Christ. What do we mean? No mere cliche to say that not every believing Catholic is unqualifyingly sure of what he believes. To be sure of the faith means to be certain what God revealed is unchangeably true. I know too many once believing Catholics have given up their faith and the main reason was and is so many Catholics are not really sure, are not certain that their faith can never be given up. Hear it. Define an article of the faith. Any Catholic who gives up his faith has lost. Hear it. Has lost his ability to be saved. Any Catholic who gives up his Catholic faith, I repeat, will not reach heaven. Oh, the certitude of faith must be convinced. The mysteries which we believe cannot be questioned because they are revealed by the all-wise and truthful God. I could not just for the next 3 days, for the next 3 months, speak to you about the importance of being absolutely sure that what you believe as a Catholic is the unquestionable truth. We get some idea what confirmation does, or what happened on Pentecost Sunday. As we know, on Pentecost Sunday, the apostles were confirmed in their faith. The same disciples hid themselves behind locked doors. Once the Holy Spirit came upon them, is the Holy Spirit of confirmation. What do they do? Peter, the smart coward. Remember the noise the Holy Spirit made over where the apostles were gathered. Peter got up, told the people they cannot reach heaven unless they become Catholics. We know several thousand were baptized that day. Let me examine every one of your consciences. How many people have you brought into the Catholic Church? This, I repeat, is a grave obligation. Remember, it was just over 50 days before that Peter, I repeat, the apostolic coward, 3 times denied that he even knew Jesus Christ. And once he received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, before several thousand people, he said, "Men of Israel, this is what I'm going to say. Jesus the Nazarene was a man sent to you by God. Miracles and portents and signs God worked through him while he was among you, as you all know. This man was put into your power by the deliberate intention and foreknowledge of God, you took and had him crucified by men outside the law. You killed him, but God raised him back to life. On hearing this, the call, we are told, was cut to the heart and told Peter and the apostles what must we do. Peter, I repeat, the converted coward, said you must repent. Every one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The result was, as we know, 3,000 were baptized on that very day. The lesson is obvious. No less than what the Holy Spirit did to Peter on Pentecost Sunday. Hear it, and please do not forget. The same Holy Spirit has done to us. We were confirmed on our Pentecost day. We received nothing less than miraculous power to witness to Jesus Christ. Oh, dear Lord, how we need courageous Catholics today. Hear it, you all naturally cowards. Confirmation transforms a weak human being into a tower of strength. Give witness to our faith, the man called Jesus of Nazareth is nothing less than the mighty God. Oh, but you must believe this. And secondly, you must proclaim this to others. I say this with complete conviction. We must not only believe, we must spread the faith. Unless we spread the faith, I hope you've heard this before. We hear it again. We risk our salvation. According to St. John Chrysostom, on the last day, we shall be judged mainly on our practice of charity in sharing the faith with others. How many persons have you brought into the Catholic Church? The number of ways of spreading the faith is beyond human reckoning, but the one way that has been most effective from the dawn of Christianity has been by living a life of selfless charity. Oh, my Lord! How easy for me to say those words. How difficult, how humanly impossible it is to live them. The charity of which we are speaking is not only, even mainly, the charity of corporal works of mercy. Certainly, as Christ tells us, we ought to do everything we can to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the sick, care for those who are in physical need. But this may be the most unusual retreat you've ever made. The main form of charity was nothing less than a miraculous means of spreading the faith is the interior charity of selfless love for others. My Lord, my dear Lord, how easy it is to pronounce the words, living a life of selfless love for others. How very hard, how very hard it is to live a life of selfless charity. The one I believe is improved on the description of charity given by Pope Clement I, writing, if you please, in 90 A.D., this definition of charity I recommend memorizing. Says the Pope, the date 90 A.D., charity bears all things. Charity is long-suffering in all things. There's nothing mean in charity, nothing arrogant. Charity knows no schism. Charity does not rebel. Is all things with love. In charity, all the chosen of God become perfect. Dear Lord, however you one of us, be any with us speaker, needs, desperately needs to examine his or her practice of selfless charity. Is it any wonder by the end of the first century of Christianity, hear it, please don't forget, over 100 dioceses were established on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. And as you know, for the first 300 years of Christianity, to become a Christian meant to become, remember, a martyr. Without exception, the church spread because Christians were confirmed by the Holy Spirit to love others with heroic charity. Hear it, and please do not forget. They loved those who hated them. They loved those who persecuted them. Like Jesus Christ, even love those who crucify them. Hear it. The greatest gift we can have on earth from God is to love those who hate us. Let me repeat. The greatest gift we can receive from God is to love those who hate us. What are we talking about? We are talking about spreading the faith as one of the gifts of the sacrament of confirmation. It is especially our love of others who may not love us, but we share the faith, hear it, with the enemies of the Catholic Church. Believe me, as I've told you earlier, I've been a priest now for 52 years. Only God knows the price I have paid for trying with God's grace to live a truly Catholic life. You paid dearly, very dearly, if you want to behave like an authentic, selfless Catholic. This spreading of the faith is not only evangelizing unbelievers or converting sinners estranged from God. Confirmation, we believe, so strengthens our faith that we become witnesses of the true faith by living, and I mean every syllable of this sentence, by living as martyrs. How misguided we can be. We see all around us millions who either do not believe in Christ at all, or whose Christianity is confused, or whose faith in the Church's teaching is shallow at best and make believe at worst. We are all, hear it, I'll say it again, you're all obliged, the verb is we're obliged to bring other people into the true faith. So we ask, how? How are we to bring this ocean of souls, the fullness of the true faith? Surely, our understanding of the faith is important. Our ability to prove the truth of our faith, I use the verb, is imperative. But the infallible way of spreading the faith far beyond our wildest dreams. Oh, how I ask our Lord to share with you what I so deeply believe. We must love others with a loving surrender to the will of God. We must love others with a selfless generosity. The more others dislike us, to repeat the verb, the more they hate us, the more we should love them. This, in one sentence, is the key to putting the gift of our confirmation into practice. We hope to share with others the treasure of what we believe. Again, we go on. We are to believe the faith. We are to share the faith. And thirdly, we are to defend what we believe. At this point, we could begin all over again. The sacrament of confirmation provides us with nothing less than miraculous power to defend the faith that we profess. Shall I say it? We cannot defend what we do not understand. Or can we defend what we are not ourselves fully convinced is true? On this basic level of defending the Catholic faith, there is no substitute for knowing understanding what we believe. My dear fellow Catholics, in God's name, I want all of you, as a fruit of this retreat, to learn your faith more deeply, more clearly, more strongly than ever before. We cannot defend what we do not understand. Nor can we defend what we are not ourselves convinced is true. On this basic level of defending the Catholic faith, there is no substitute for knowing what we believe. Dear Lord, what language I could use, what strong words I could resort to, on how shallow the Catholic faith is, I'm afraid, for most professed Catholics. To know what we believe means more than just understanding what God has revealed. Strange to say, must also know how to cope with the widespread dissension of